Episode number 11 of The Reporter is brought to you by The Great Courses. We have been talking about The Great Courses Plus video learning service, which gives you unlimited access to a huge library of The Great Courses lecture series in tons of fascinating subjects: science, history, cooking, the internet, computers, art, writing. It's all over the place. We love The Great Courses Plus, and they are giving you, Junkie, an incredible opportunity. Right now, you can watch one of their popular courses, The Fundamentals of Photography, absolutely free. The Fundamentals of Photography is filmed in partnership with National Geographic and is taught by professional photographer Joel Sartori, that is going to teach you how to take better pictures, valuable tips on things like composition of the photos, how to create photos of landscapes, people, special occasions. You know how when you look through your phone and you're like, oh my God, this is gonna be a great picture, and then you take the picture and you look at it like the next day, you're like, dude, this picture sucks. That is what The Fundamentals of Photography is going to help you get around, so you are preserving your memories for all time in a way where they're always going to be awesome. And for this limited time, you get a chance to stream The Fundamentals of Photography, a $235 value, and hundreds of other courses for free. But this free offer is available itself only for a limited time, so hurry. Go to thegreatcoursesplus.com/Sigler. That's thegreatcoursesplus.com/Sigler. And now on with our story. Welcome to The Reporter, the Galactic Football League novella, written by Scott Sigler and Murr Lafferty, narrated by Scott Sigler. The Reporter is suitable for ages 12 and up and contains graphic violence. This story, along with all the GFL novellas and novels, is available as a full-length, unabridged, and ad-free digital audiobook download, as an ebook on Kindle, Nook, iTunes, Google Play, and more. To order any version, go to scottsigler.com/thereporter. Hello, Junkies! How are you guys doing today? This is the second to last episode of The Reporter, and then we're going to have a super cool Q&A episode. We do that with everything. I've been reading that there's a thing called the NPR voice. You know, when you listen to people, you ever listen to NPR or to the NPR podcast, they have that certain way of talking which makes it sound like they're thinking about things, when in actuality, everything's completely scripted out. So if you listen to Serial, for example, the Serial podcast, anything in NPR, they actually teach that and practice that. So I thought today'd be fun for me to pretend to be an NPR guy and read through my notes here for you as an NPR guy. Here we go. A Light is a book by me, Scott Sigler, giving away an ARC copy, Advanced Reader copy, or ARE, Advanced Reader Edition, at scottsigler.com/alight-goodreads. Win one of 24 copies, you mad playa. It's out April 5th. Did you pre-order at scottsigler.com/alight? Interjection. I want you guys, the next time you're listening to NPR or any NPR podcast, you listen to those things, listen to that and think about Captain Kirk, William Shatner, reading it to you, because the NPR voice is exactly like Shatner's voice, only without the incredible over-the-top acting that the Shat brings us. Getting back into character. Here we go. We have a cool new thing, the Siglerverse timeline, at scottsigler.com/Siglerverse-timeline. It was done by Siglerverse continuity czar John Viscara. It maps the stories and books to their place on the timeline. Do you have comments about The Reporter or the GFL? Thoughts? Questions? Thoughts or questions about anything Sigler-related? Well, get in our Q&A episode. You can call 206-666-4673. That's 206-666-GORE. And leave a voicemail. We'll put your words on the air for a Q&A episode, or you can just send an MP3 recording of your question to media@scottsigler.com. Or you can just send a regular old email to media@scottsigler.com, and we'll answer that as well. Okay, that's it. I'm done with the NPR voice. It's driving me crazy. It's driving me so crazy. You listen to this. These are professional broadcasters. They do a good job. But this affectation they take on of how they're having this slow, thoughtful delivery of the material when they actually teach it in a class. to teach their people, their DJs, because they're DJs, let's be honest, teach them how to sound like the NPR voice. Now we're going to do things in the Sigler voice. And yes, I will teach a class on this someday. You can fly me out to your hometown. I can come to your house and you can have a lot of chocodiles and Reese's Pieces and I will be happy to teach you how to do things like this. Excuse me. La 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 la. Find my center. Find my center. We went to Hollywood last week. It was awesome. We got in a car. We drove from San Diego to Los Angeles, California. Got to do a couple of pitches to Sci-Fi. Oh, that's right. Maybe you saw the picture over at our Instagram account at Instagram.com/Scott Sigler or our Facebook account, Facebook.com/Scott Sigler. We also went to ABC. ABC Signature, which is a division of that network that makes shows for cable channels. So the one show we're talking to them about is a brand new idea. It's not based on a book. It's a brand new thing. And it's, you know, this is like a 1% chance of this happening. But it's kind of cool because ABC is like, oh, we're going to make a show with Scott and somebody was going to buy it. That'd be cool. Oh, Sci-Fi is interested in buying it. We'll talk to them. And then you've got Sci-Fi going, well, that show seems interesting, but we don't want to make it. If somebody else, ABC might consider making that, well, we could buy it. Okay. That could be how the magic of Hollywood happens. We don't know. Such a long way to go. And we know it's probably not going to happen. But A. Kovacs, the director of Doom, a real girl herself, we went to Hollywood. We're learning more about the process. We're getting a little bit farther each time we pitch. And it's super fun. We're super excited. The eventuality that at some point we're going to have a Sigler-based show on the televisions or the tubes or the Netflix or something like this. Ladies and gentlemen, we are on a collision course with a TV series. The only variable is time. Hopefully we'll cover more of that trip in a future Friday fix, but either way, we will keep you informed on the process. There is no talkie talk after the episode today. This is all I got for you. I already gave you my NPR voice so that I sound like I'm really thinking about what it is I want to say to all of you. And also, Scotty, beam me up. Let's get you caught up on the reporter, and then we will get into it. Previously on The Reporter, Yolanda's search for the killer of Grace McDermott finally comes to fruition. She's found a store near the building where McDermott was killed, a store that has security cameras monitoring the exit of that building. If those records are intact, Yolanda will have evidence of who left the building right after McDermott died, and that will give her the killer. And now, episode number 11 of Yolanda had wanted to drive, but Wycor insisted that he have the honor. She'd let him do it just to placate him, but after nearly an hour in the insane traffic of Mattarch, she was glad she had done so. Even flying at the second level, the other cars banked and swerved, coming so close that she had shut her eyes tight and expected a crash at least a dozen times. The crashes never came because Wycor would make a slight course adjustment, hit the gas, or work the air brakes to stay clear. Wycor suddenly angled Tarrant's car down into an open space in the far left ground lane. A wheel truck cut over from the right. Yolanda hissed in a breath as she covered her face in her hands, but, as usual, there was no collision. Horns and sirens blared, joining the endless noise of whining LEV drives and growling combustion engines.
Miss Davenport, I assure you, I am an experienced driver.
She opened her eyes.
You sure are. Where did you learn to maneuver like that? Training from Commissioner Frost. My Shamaketh felt it was prudent for me to be trained in several duties, driving included. I took driving classes usually reserved for bodyguards.
Yolanda saw Grace McDermott's building coming up on the right. She gripped the dashboard as the black car suddenly cut right. She felt foolish when she saw they were driving into a parking ramp.
Wycor parked, and they got out.
She looked at her assistant.
If this works and we get the video, I want that team here as soon as possible. As I mentioned before, it would be prudent to bring them down now. Even if you don't obtain the evidence, they can simply return to the regulator.
She chewed on her lower lip. She didn't want to bring down an extraction team unless she had what she needed.
How long will they be in transit?
It is a typical shuttle run, 30 to 45 minutes. If things go well, they might arrive shortly after you talk to the shop owner and obtain the video.
All right, call them, she said. But I warn you, that kind of thing will jinx us.
Jinx?
She smiled. It will cause us to not get what we want. It's kind of the opposite of luck.
Ah, Wycor said. The opposite of luck, which does not exist. If it will please you, Miss Davenport, I will be very nervous that my actions will jinx us. I feel afraid already.
She rolled her eyes. For a sentient that claims to not know what a figure of speech is, you sure have smartass down cold. Let's go.
They made their way back to the street. There was Grace McDermott's building, all 15 stories of it. And to the left, just a few buildings away, was the convenience store. The two layers of traffic rushed by in front of them. They started to walk, working their way through the other pedestrians. Then something blue caught her eye.
She grabbed Wycor's petty palp arm and yanked him toward a big refuse chute at the sidewalk's edge.
Miss Davenport, are you assaulting me?
No, you dummy! Get down!
They crouched behind the refuse chute. It smelled awful. She leaned in and whispered,
I think I saw Parmont the Insane.
Wiggles of pink danced across Wycor's eye.
Are you certain?
He was across the street. Look for yourself.
Wycor slowly peeked over the chute, then dropped back down.
Yes, that is Detective Parmont.
Great. He's following me.
Then did he know we were at Tarrant's residence?
She shrugged.
I don't know, but it's not coincidence that he's here.
Could he be looking into the McDermott case?
That case is a year old. He's here for us.
Perhaps he is with Joey Clark?
Did you see Joey Clark? Because I didn't. Parmont was following me the other night, and he's following me now.
The pink on Wycor's eye increased in saturation.
So what do we do?
Yolanda thought, feeling the pressure of the situation cloud her ability to process.
I guess we have to get out of here.
But Miss Davenport, we are so close.
He's here. He's following us. We can't risk it. He's a killer.
If he knew where we were going, would he not wait for us in the convenience store? He's across the street, and it looked like he is searching for us. If I may, Miss Davenport, I could distract him while you talk to the store owner.
Wycor was clearly afraid, but he would do that anyway? No, she couldn't have him risk his life.
Forget it. We can try again later.
Wycor stared at her. The pink slowly faded from his eye.
Miss Davenport, we have to try now. The extraction team is on the way. If you find the video, we will have people coming, and Parmont will not be able to easily be rid of us. Please, let me distract him. You talk to the shop owner.
She tried to control her breathing. She wasn't afraid for herself as much as she was afraid for him.
We shouldn't split up. What if I get attacked and I need you?
He reached into a pocket and held up Miriam's LifeLock wand.
I have this. I will confront Detective Parmont and keep him occupied. Therefore, you are safe. If you are attacked in any way, this device will tell me and I will come right away. Please, Miss Davenport, I have no wish to put myself in danger, but if we do not get the information now, I fear we never will.
What he said made sense. She didn't know why Parmont was following her, but it was probably because he worked for Villani. If Parmont figured out where she was going, he might delete the data from the shopkeeper's servers. Frederico had already left the planet, and this was the only lead he'd given her. Without the shopkeeper's video, there was no way to clear Jew. The whole trip would have been for nothing.
All right, but be smart. Don't try and be a hero.
If you are suggesting that I do not intentionally provoke a police officer who has shot and killed multiple sentients, I would like to think you know I am smarter than that.
She grabbed him and hugged him.
Just be careful, okay?
I will. Let me cross the street and draw his attention, then you go. I will say this once and once only, and you will never tell anyone. Good luck, Miss Davenport.
He stood and walked to a crossing zone. She peeked over the chute and watched. As Wycor crossed the street, Parmet locked eyes on him. Wycor saw this and walked quickly in the other direction. Parmet followed. When the blue fur detective's back was turned to her, she stood and fell in with pedestrian traffic. Seconds later, she entered the store. When she walked in the door, a soft chime sounded. She looked around. No one behind the counter to her left, and the store was empty except one stumbling worker who smelled of gin. The main aisle led from the front door to a hall that led into a back, employees-only area. She and the drunk worker weren't alone for long, though. A Lee Key came out of the back hall and walked toward her. All Lee Key walked hunched over, as if they were more at home in the water than on land, but this one was exceptionally so. The ridge line of spikes that ran along his spine looked floppy, as if the spikes were no longer as rigid as they once were. His skin wasn't the bright blue she'd come to expect from the species, but more of a pale gray tinged with blue, so faded it blended in with the black stripes that ran from the spine down each side. His yellow eyes looked clear, however. The Lee Key chittered something in Quith. Yolanda shook her head and shrugged.
English?
The shopkeeper said, and she nodded.
Then in English I say, welcome, welcome.
He suddenly seemed to notice the worker.
You! How did you get in here? You're drunk! Get out before I call the cops!
The worker stumbled to the door and opened it, again sounding the chime. He shuffled out onto the sidewalk. The door closed behind him. The Lee Key walked up to her.
Well, I can scarcely believe my failing eyes. Are you Yolanda Davenport from Galaxy Sports Magazine?
For once, her semi-famous face might pay off. That's me.
And shopping in my store.
His little arms gestured to the racks of goods.
Please, let me know if I can help you.
She took a quick look out of courtesy. All across civilized space, one thing most cultures had in common was that they just needed stuff. Snacks, food, beverages, things for cars and apartments and homes. Little items that always seemed to be out. Convenience store was a human term, but a universal need.
I'm not here to shop. I came to see you. I'm afraid I have to invade your privacy just a little bit. Are you Barnacle Scraper?
He spread his little blue-gray arms.
I am, and you are only invading my privacy if I don't give you permission. What is it you want?
I have reason to believe you might have some security video that could help prove a sentient innocent of a murder he did not commit.
A recent crime?
Here it was, the moment of truth.
No, the crime is a year old.
He stared at her, his yellow eyes blinking slowly.
A year ago, and you are a sports reporter. You're here because of the Grace McDermott murder.
She smiled. That's very good.
It is nothing. The loss of Drew Tweedy was tragic for the death. I am a fan of the new quarterback, but I liked watching Drew run sentience over much more than watching a pretty pass.
She wondered how Wycor was faring. Was he even alive? Was Parmet on the way? And how long until the extraction team arrived?
I'm sorry to be rude, but I'm in an extreme hurry. Do you think you'd have video from that long ago?
Storage costs nothing. I will have everything that happened in and out of my store that day. So the only question is if the cameras caught what it is you seek. This way.
Barnacle Scraper walked her into the back of the store. The place looked neat and clean. The kind of clean that takes constant work. Barnacle was not the kind of sentient that let things slide. The place reeked of efficiency and ritual. He stood in front of a door that automatically slid open for him. Inside sat six holoscreens, three up near the ceiling and three mounted below them. The screen switched through various camera angles. The store's front door, the aisles, behind the cash register, the bathrooms and shots from outside the store, the back alley, the front sidewalk, and... The image switched to another angle before she was sure. She leaned in close and pointed to a screen.
Was that the front of Grace McDermott's building?
It was.
Barnacle called up controller icons and made the holo screen switch back to what Yolanda had seen. The front of the building across the street.
This angle is actually so we can watch the hooligans loitering out front, but it catches that building as well.
And your system is time-locked?
It is. Double verified and satellite linked. What times do you need to look at?
Yolanda opened her palm up to check her notes. She found the exact time and held up her hand for Barnacle to see.
Start here. First fade of artificial dusk, please.
Barnacle started to move through the footage, but stopped when the front door chime sounded.
Customer,
he said. He pointed to the floating control icons.
That one on the left controls screen selection and camera angle. Don't touch it. The one in the middle works as a time dial. Turn right to go forward, left to go back. The faster you turn, the faster the time goes. If it's easy enough for a cop to learn this system, I'm sure you can handle it.
She almost couldn't wait for him to get out of the way. She reached out and made a spinning motion with her hand. The footage shot by, a fast-forward view of grab cabs, trucks, lev drives, and sentient pedestrians. And then there he was. She stopped the playback. Jew Tweedy entering the building. Yolanda looked at the time display. 5 minutes after Grace's time of death. Her left hand formed a fist that she shook twice.
Got it. I got it.
She looked at the icons, searching for a download enable. She found it, activated it, then reached to the holoscreen, made a grabbing motion, then slapped her hand against her storage bracelet. Floating lights above the bracelet blinked red, then green. The footage had downloaded. Yolanda laughed. Barnacle was right. The system was so easy a cop could use it. A cop. That little voice at the back of her head told her something was wrong. But what? Oh, of course. She could scan the footage before the killing and see if any of her suspects had entered. She spun the dial, watching closely. Dozens of people entered and exited the building in a hyper-fast backward motion. There, Miriam. Yolanda rewound and played back at normal speed. Miriam entering the building. She wore a shirt, but the prosthetic arm looked normal. It could be any arm, though. Yolanda wouldn't really know the difference between models. Yolanda checked the time code. Miriam was entering the building exactly when she had said she had. Miriam's story checked out. But Miriam had said Grace's apartment door was closed when she got to the hall and that no one had entered or left until she heard a struggle. So the killer had already been in the apartment when Miriam arrived. Yolanda started spinning backward again, looking for big bodies of Key or Heavy G. There, the back of a Heavy G wearing an orbiting death jacket, entering the building. Yolanda slowed the footage, moving it through second by second.
Come on, you big sucker, turn around.
As if on cue, the Heavy G stopped and turned. She saw his face.
Oh, no.
She felt a cold spot of metal press against the back of her head. Then the voice of Barnacle Scraper.
You are not to move,
the leaky said.
If you say anything, I will kill you. Remove all of your recording devices and set them into trash below the holotanks.
Yolanda thought about shouting out a name, but she'd probably have a bullet in her brain before she spoke the second syllable. She slid off her bracelet and dropped it in the trash.
All of them,
Barnacle said. There was fear in his voice, and she understood why. He was in as much trouble as she was. The fact that she wasn't already dead meant she had at least a chance to live. And if she was killed, the body and everything she had on her would be dumped anyway. She made a split-second decision. All of her recording and uploading devices went into the trash.
The trash can. Pass it back, but do not turn around.
Yolanda did as she was told. She heard big feet smashing down, breaking plastic and bending metal. The stomping ceased. Yolanda tried to breathe. Can I turn around now, Joey?
Go ahead.
She turned slowly, fear clutching at her stomach. The face in the holotank and the face she now looked at were one and the same. Detective Joey Clark. He had a gun in his hand, a gun pointed at her. In front of him, a blue arm twisted in his thick, heavy G hand, was Barnacle Scraper. Yolanda shook her head.
You? You killed Grace McDermott?
Joey shrugged.
Hey, these things happen.
But why?
Money. Why else? I gamble a bit. I owe Anna Vlani a lot of money. Owed, I mean. I'm square with her now.
And all it took was the murder of a sentient?
All it took was the murder of a whore, Yolanda. Grace McDermott used everyone around her. She won't be missed.
Yolanda felt so stupid. That's why you were the first on the scene, because you were already there.
Joey winked. She tried to look at his eyes, not at the gun.
Did Anna give you the door code? Is that how you got into the apartment?
He nodded.
Anna owns the building. She gave me an all-access code. I was told exactly what time to be there. Anna told me Miriam would come rushing in, and she was right.
But you got away.
He shrugged.
That isn't my problem. I did what Vlani asked me to do when I was out of debt. Everything was fine until you wrote that article, then came digging around again.
Why didn't you just kill me earlier?
Because I don't want to kill you, damn it. You're a good person. You're not like McDermott.
She saw the look in his eyes, regretful but still cold.
You don't want to kill me, but you will anyway.
Barnacle let out a chittering sound, a sound of pure terror. Joey pressed the barrel of the gun against his blue head.
English!
This isn't my business,
Barnacle said.
Just let me go!
Barnacle panicked. He started thrashing, trying to pull free. Joey drew back the gun and brought it down hard into Barnacle's head, dropping the Lee key to the floor. Yolanda saw her one chance. She stepped up and kicked Joey Clark right between the legs. He groaned, then backhanded her with the gun. She flew against the holo screens and fell hard to the floor. Holo fluid started dripping on her. The impact had cracked one of the screens. A wave of pain washed over her face. She pushed herself up, trying to ignore the pain. Joey was doubled over at the waist. Barnacle tried to rush by him, but Joey swatted out a heavy backhand that knocked the Lee key into the wall. Yolanda panicked. She had to get away. She ran at Joey, hoping to slip by him and into the hall, but he kicked out hard. His foot hit the front of her foreleg. She felt and heard something snap. She dropped, clutching her leg. The pain was overwhelming. She wasn't going anywhere. Joey stood, still holding his privates. He stared down at her.
That was a good shot. Typical of you, Yolanda. You're a fighter, right up until the end.
The front door chime sounded. Yolanda and Joey both looked up at the holo screens. The middle one on top showed the front door. Standing in it was a Quith leader. Parmont the Insane. And behind him, a worker. Y-Cor. Joey looked to his right, down the hall that led into the store and to the front door. His face went white. He had the gun at his side. Yolanda looked at the screen again. Parmont's gun was still in its holster.
Put the weapon down, Clark, the leader said. Let's talk this out.
Another piece clicked into place. At the two-eyed mutant, Parmont hadn't been following Yolanda. He'd been following Joey. The heavy G cop shook his head.
Talk. Kind of late for that, don't you think?
Yolanda saw Y-Cor slide to the side and move out of sight.
That's a decision you have to make,
Parmont said.
We can end this the smart way.
With me in jail?
Maybe your gangland connection can get you out of it. At least that's possible. Vlani can't get you out of a coffin.
Joey's hand shook just a little. Yolanda tried to sit very, very still.
Your gun is still in your holster, Joey said. So why don't you just turn around and walk out, Parment? You never saw any of this. Nothing has to change. You know you can't draw that thing faster than I can point mine.
On the screen, Yolanda saw Parmont's pettipelt fingers flexing.
If you're wrong about that, Clark, that mistake will cost you your life. I won't be aiming for your gun hand.
Joey's breath came faster, shallower. Yolanda saw Joey in a second screen. She could see both cops, side by side.
Just turn around, Parmont. Just walk out.
I'm on a count to three,
Parmont said.
On three, I'm going to shoot you in the face.
Joey shook his head.
No, just get out of here.
One.
Parmont, don't make me do this.
Two.
Joey raised his gun. He raised it fast, with the speed and confidence of an expert, but it wasn't fast enough. The little quith leader was a blur of motion. One fraction of a second, his pettipalp hands were near his sides, and the next, he had drawn and fired. Joey Clark's head rocked back in a spray of blood and brains. His big body landed hard. It did not move. Yolanda closed her eyes. She heard little feet rushing in.
Miss Davenport, Miriam's life lock showed that you were under duress. I changed tactics and talked to Parmont since it was obviously not him that was hurting you. He was following Joey Clark, not you. Are you all right?
She shook her head.
No, I need a hospital. I will take care of it. The extraction team should be here by now. Parmont, stay with her.
Wycor rushed off. Parmont was talking to Barnacle Scraper. The Lee Key hadn't moved since he'd hit the wall. He was hurt as well. Parmont walked over.
You look horrible,
he said.
Thanks. Thanks for saving me.
I knew Joey was bad, but I could never prove it. I followed him here. I lost him and saw Wycor walking around outside. He ducked me for a couple minutes, then told me you were in trouble. Good thing I got here when I did, or you'd be dead.
Yeah, about that, Yolanda said. I'm getting the hell out of Mattich. Maybe you could just let people believe I'm dead until I'm safely away? I'm tired of Anavlani coming after me.
I'll just leave your whereabouts unknown,
Parmont said.
Means the same thing as dead around here. How would that be?
Yolanda's eyes felt very heavy.
That's fine. Now would you be a dear and find me a pillow? So tired. I think I'll just sleep until the hospital.
Her body had had enough. Yolanda Davenport rolled to her back as sleep took her down.
You have been listening to The Reporter, a Galactic Football League novella, written by Scott Sigler and Mer Lafferty, narrated by Scott Sigler. For more information on Scott Sigler and for more free stories from this author, go to scottsigler.com. The Reporter was produced by A. Kovacs and engineered by Steve Rickyberg. Copyright 2015, Empty Set Entertainment. Theme music is the song Heaven's Alive by the band Lacuna Coil.